Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
The Burt Show.
I'm about to break up with myself in one specific area here that I'll tell you about in just one second. But follow me on this, because this has happened quite a bit on the show. And we might have friends that have gone through this also, right? Where they fondly remember somebody they dated from back in like high school. And then on Facebook or whatever, dude reaches out or woman reaches out, still single, like in your 40s or whatever. And you have all those feelings that you had when you guys dated back in high school, right? But do they apply to now? I am feeling that way right this second. This BlackBerry keyboard that came yesterday.
He busted that out in our meeting yesterday afternoon.
First of all, look how long it has made my phone.
Okay. Your phone looks huge right now.
So if you had the BlackBerry back in the day.
You know what they say, the bigger the phone. I'm not finishing that.
Back in the day, the BlackBerry had a keyboard just like this, where the buttons were elevated. Have you ever seen
one? Yeah, I have seen a BlackBerry before.
Have you ever held a BlackBerry?
I have held a BlackBerry before. The buttons are very tactile. It was at the Museum of Technology,
The Smithsonian is what she thought. And I loved it back in the day, and then they switched it over to the iPhone as we got technologically more advanced. Now we don't have the buttons anymore. But I have had a problem with it from the start, and I get so frustrated when I'm texting or using my phone because of the amount of times I have to backspace to correct myself, or the autocorrect is so bad on my spelling that it's like, dude, what are you even saying over here?
I'm just blown away you actually know where the backspace is, because you be sending messages and trying to decipher them. It's like trying to decipher hieroglyphics. Like, I have no idea what you're saying.
Sometimes I just get lazy. I'm like, screw it. I'm so sick of backspacing right now that I'm just going to, they'll figure it out. It's like playing Wheel of Fortune when I text you.
We should do a segment on that. What the hell is Bert texting?
I'm not kidding you. Do you also do emails from your phone as well?
Not really, no.
Okay, then you have no excuse.
So I ordered this device, and this is not like a hidden guerrilla marketing paid advertisement thing. So I saw this on TikTok, where they always get me the TikTok shop now or Instagram shop. And I'm like, oh my God, that technology will bring me right back. And it was so easy to text back in the day. So it really is almost like, it's like an iPhone condom. Is really what it is. Right?
Yeah.
And the BlackBerry keyboard just attaches to the bottom. You download the app, then you go ahead and you attach it to the bottom, but it's also sort of an OtterBox as well. But it does extend your phone for a good inch and a half, so it is super, super long.
You just
right?
got so many men so excited. Yeah. They're like, that's the best kind of condom I've ever heard of.
I'll get you a couple.
So I was so excited about it. I was actually late to our meeting that Kristen and I had back at the radio station yesterday, because I was putting this thing on and I wanted to use it before the meeting, right?
That's why you were a couple
that's
minutes
why
late?
I was a couple of minutes.
Because you were putting your iPhone condom on?
That is right.
All right.
So I start sending out a couple of text messages, and then I realize what a piece of crap this thing is, man. This is nothing like I remember. It's basically the same keyboard. The problem is that the phone is so long. And remember, the BlackBerries weren't nearly as long as this?
Mm-hmm. They were chunky.
They were chunky, so it was easier to text back in the day. This thing is so top-heavy that as I'm texting, like, it's just, my phone is just falling out of my hands.
Walking around with a mini laptop. Yes.
It's still thin, but it's just so damn long, like it didn't even fit in my backpack this morning.
You look like one of those adults that brings iPads to vacations and takes photos.
Yes.
Put it down.
Kristen and I had a woman in front of us at the Kentucky game. Did you see the phone she was using?
No,
Oh, my God. So I didn't even know this thing was available until, again, I saw it on, like, TikTok shop or a review. It's a triple folding phone. Have you seen this?
Nah. Like, it folds into, like, a little square?
So it looks like this, except not nearly as long, but it looks like your iPhone, yeah. right? And then when you want to extend it one fold, you fold it one, and it becomes kind of a oh. square. And then you could do a third one. And she was taking pictures with the third one. She was blocking out everybody in the section. You didn't see that?
No, I was really drunk.
Okay. Well, it was happening right next to us.
Got it.
But again, it was like having a TV in your hands while you're taking pictures. I thought this thing was going to be a game changer. The only saving grace might be I might get one of those little doorknobby things on the back. What are those things called?
Oh, like the grip?
The little
oh,
grip.
So it can stand on its own?
Not so it can stand on its own, just so my little fingers can hold it and tend to the skates.
No. You know what you have to start doing? You have to start working out your wrist. Because that's why it's just like it's just fall, like it falling out of your hand. So if
it's
you work,
there.
You're gonna do it.
No,
or
I'm not. I'm not gonna
do it.
I'm not doing it.
I'm not gonna make the working out the wrist out joke.
Too easy.
But no, I mean, I would like to endorse it, but at this point, I just can't. Give me another 48 hours with it, and I do think I got to get something to weight the top down. Because right now, it is kind of a workout for my wrist as I'm holding it.
Yeah, you need to weight the bottom down because it's top heavy. That's right. What you got to do to balance it out.
Good luck.
Like, when you lift it up, like, pretend like you're taking a picture of me.
Then, like yeah, that? Yeah.
My God, that is it. That's a monster of a phone, baby.
It really is. It's the Bird Show.
The Bird Show.
Look, there's a lot at stake when you have a friend or a best friend that you are thinking about going to the next level with. There's a lot at stake, man. I mean, friendships are very, very valuable. But should you shoot your shot and take that risk or not?
It's a tale as old as time. It's two star-crossed lovers that never quite find the right timing. There's always something that happens to get in the way and interfere between them. They're great friends. The chemistry is there, but it just hasn't worked out in the end, right? We've heard this a million times.
If you're a new listener, this is our producer, Jackson.
That's me. And so this is about my older brother, okay? So my brother, he just turned 30 this past year. He's living out in California. He's finishing up his medical residency. He's about to be a doctor, or he is a doctor, but he's about to be a practicing doctor.
Oh, so he's your parents' favorite.
Oh, big time.
Got it.
Big time.
Got
yeah.
it.
I'm big middle child and working here, so it's a little bit different. And so
you are a surgeon of editing.
Yes! Okay. I like that.
That's what you are.
And so, you know, he's got this grand life ahead of him of, you know, success and everything. He's super smart. He's outgoing. But the one thing that's been lacking the last few years is that he's very single. Okay. He's been single for about 3 years now.
But understandable, especially if you're in medical school. I mean, you have like zero time to have a social life.
If your parents could choose one or the other. Him having this incredible career, it's very successful, or being in a relationship where they're popping out babies left and right. Which one would they choose?
The babies.
The babies.
The babies.
Okay.
The babies would win.
Because your parents don't have any grandbabies yet, right?
They do not have any grandbabies.
Is your mom like foaming at the mouth?
She's trying to like plant little seeds here and there, but I've already told her. I was like, it's not coming from me, so. And so he's living out there, and like you're saying, it's very hard to date when you're in this, you know, crazy busy schedule. But the thing is, he goes on a lot of dates. He is constantly talking to like multiple ladies on these dating apps. He's going out a lot. He's spending a lot of money. He's doing his thing out there, but he's never finding the one, right? And so this brings us to a girl that he met in college, and they became friends right off the bat, okay? And they've always had a little bit of a special chemistry, but it's always seemed like one of them is always in a relationship throughout the entirety of, you know, them knowing each other. And honestly, when I was like kind of thinking about this last night about how I wanted to say this, I was like, yeah, and she, like, whenever they're in town together, he goes out of his way to get, she goes out of her way to bring Christmas presents to him and to see him. And I'm like, okay, but any friends would do that when you're back in town together. So it's not that special. But I feel like there's always been a chemistry there. My whole family has picked up on it. There's just something there that we always feel like that could have been, right? But again, the timing has never worked out.
Is that because you guys want it and that's why you feel it? Or is it actually there?
I think it's actually there. And the reason I say that, like, there's a few kind of key examples. One was where she didn't end up getting into this school that she really wanted to get into. And she basically she was dating this other guy, and she left her boyfriend's house and she went and saw my brother. And I was like, that's a pretty telling thing. And honestly, if I was her boyfriend, I don't know how I feel about that one, right?
She found solace in the arms of your brother, not in her boyfriend.
Right? And even while she was in this relationship with this other guy, too, like, I would walk into his room when he'd be, you know, when he was living at home, and he is, like, playing video games with his friends, and she's just chilling on FaceTime on his laptop, just hanging out. Not engaging at all, but they're just, like, constantly on FaceTime together. Mm-hmm. And I've always just noticed that there's like this extra layer of connection between them, right? And so finally, as it turns out, she broke up with her boyfriend recently, and everyone in my family is saying, like, now's kind of the chance, like, shoot your shot. And when we talk about this with him, he gets a little bit sheepish, but and I can tell that he's a little bit uncomfortable about it, but I know that he has feelings. The feelings are there. It's just he doesn't know if he wants to really truly admit that, because then committing to it means that he's risking this friendship. So it's complicated.
Yeah.
And there's no real right answer, but I think that he should go for it.
Let's see if there is a right answer. 1-855-BIRCHOW. You've been in the same situation. And like you said, this is a tale as old as time, right? You ended up shooting your shot with your best friend. Did it change the dynamic so badly that you guys weren't friends anymore? Or was it a great idea and you guys ended up together? We got to get calls on this, right? 1-855-BIRCHOW.
Here's the thing. There's two polar opposite situations that are happening here. Either these two are soulmates and finally the roadblocks that have been in the way of this potential relationship are gone and they could be together forever. Or he is so deeply entrenched in the friend zone that when she was seeking out solace for that disappointing thing that happened to her, that when she left to go find, like, comfort with him, the boyfriend was like, I'm not worried about that guy. Like, he's such a friend to you that it doesn't even matter. So either she has been secretly harboring feelings for him and has always been waiting for this to happen, or she has never once ever considered him a romantic possibility.
It's very possible that he has found himself in the friend zone, and it is very, very difficult to get out of that friend zone once you win it. But I'm the kind of person, if I'm in a situation like that, I'm shooting every time. Just because if we were meant to be just friends, then I feel like that's what would have played out. But if there's something there and I feel like it's a possibility, I think there's a reason for that. Mm-hmm. And I would rather live with trying and it didn't work than have to live with what if. So I'm shooting every time in a situation like that.
So my answer now would be very different than it was when I was younger. You know, I've told you guys my background, and my dad was just a real pig. And he trained me to be a pig. And my dad was always like, sex first, worry about the friendship later, right? So I did that for a while, and all of the friendships ended up going away. But I didn't value friendships as much back then. Now I'm with somebody that I've known 10 years. And for me, it's the best relationship I've ever been in. So if they have that commonality and they're already friends, I think it's a great idea to go for it.
Right? And so, I definitely agree. I didn't really consider the whole friend zone thing because I think I want this subconsciously to work so badly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, do you think that a relationship can be repaired if it ends up, if she doesn't have feelings? Like, do you think the friendship, it'll never be the same, right?
Never be the same. Going back.
And there are a lot of people that we've had on the show also that are like, yeah, we were best friends and we got buzz one night and we kissed and we both looked at each other like, ew! And it ruined the relationship, you know? Okay. But here, I think we're going to see a clean sweep, man.
We are. Bam,
and
bam,
clean
bam.
Clean sweep is going to be shoot your shot. Hey, Sue, good morning. You're on the Bird Show.
Sue. Where's Sue?
Come on,
Sue.
Here comes Hannah. Hey, Hannah, good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. All right. Do you shoot your shot with the best friend, or do you just, like, keep the friendship?
Well, we were high school sweethearts. We were best friends for about 3 years and then dated for quite some time and then kind of went our separate ways for a few years and got back together. And as if nothing had ever stopped, we are now married.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. And most of the calls that are coming in, I can see say that. So just in the interest of balance, let's do this one. Hey, Brittany, good morning. You're on the Bird Show. Hi.
Good morning. My best friend, she shot her shot with me. She had sex with my husband and had a baby with him. We were best friends for 16 years.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
All right, there's a lot to unpack here.
Hello. I don't think that's what we were looking for.
Yeah, I don't think that's it.
But since we're here,
let's discuss.
Right. Explain this one more again.
Me and my husband been married 11 years, and me and my best friend were best friends for 16 years, and they had an affair and had a baby with one another.
So are you still with your husband and still best friends with your best friend?
No, actually, I'm trying to get a divorce. We have a actual, we have the oldest child, me and him do together. Uh-huh. And then she has one by him, well, possibly maybe two. And I'm trying to divorce him, and me and her do not talk well only about the kids.
Gotcha.
Okay.
I don't know what you take from that.
Yeah, freaking me out.
We didn't help at all. That's what we do here.
My brother's going to love this.
You're not welcome. That's
the first show. The Burt Show.
Put yourself in the place of an actor or an actress, right? Or the husband or wife of an actor or actress that is an intense lovemaking scene or a kissing scene, right? And you're watching that and you're like, shouldn't kiss me like that. Never kiss me like that, right? So a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about Nobody Wants This, right? And for days, we were talking about what we all considered like the best kiss ever in a romantic comedy. And that was between Kristen Bell and Adam Brody.
Like, he can get it this time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, not Adrian,
Adrian, right? And we were all wondering, like, how did Dak feel about that? I mean, there's such chemistry between the two. Well, Dak did an interview.
Dax.
Is it Dax?
Mm-hmm. Dax Shepard.
I got Dak Prescott on my mind. That's the guy who just stop names. So Dax is taking a look at it, and he does an interview the other day. And he says, me and my friend were watching the scene together, the kissing scene. And he says, I would argue it's the best kissing scene ever put on film, is what he said. So his friend says to him, does she ever kiss you like that? And he says, no, I didn't even know she could kiss like that.
Hey, whoa.
Or maybe you're not kissing her like that to make
bring
her
that
kiss
out of
you like
no.
that.
Yeah. Watching that chemistry with somebody else is going to be real, real tough.
That's rough.
All right, so if you've ever gone to a youth softball, baseball, soccer game, you'll notice that there's one or two parents taking it way too seriously, and they can't control themselves, yelling at the kids, yelling at the refs, and it kind of drives you crazy, right? We might have one in the room or one associated with somebody in the room.
It's not me this time. It's not me that's like, you know, I think I have spoken before that, you know, I get a little passionate at my son's Little League games. I mean, I have in the past, and I've kind of, I don't know if I'd call it a helicopter parent, but, you know, I'm standing at the fence and I'm like, you know, just talking to him.
Sometimes it's hard not to say something when your kid gets a hard foul over and over and over. That's your kid laying on the field, right? It's hard not to say anything.
I will tell you what. I have a whole new appreciation for kids' soccer because it is brutal. It is, I know, like, on when you watch, like, the professionals, they're like, what do they call it? They're acting. They're falling on the ground.
Like,
you know, acting like they're hurt. But, I mean, with kids, it is, they will take your legs out. I mean, they will stiff arm you. They will, I mean,
brutal.
It's dirty.
Yeah, there's a lot of flopping in professional soccer, but also it's also very physical as
of
well.
Course.
Like when you go to a game in person and watch them on the field.
Totally.
Like it's very physical.
Yeah, and a lot of times I will say this, that it's not necessarily dirty. It's the first couple of years that they're playing the sport, so they don't even know what they're doing yet. So they're crashing
they
into each other.
Oh, they know.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Oh, they know. I mean, they know. I mean, they are like wrapping their arms. I mean, they're just taking out people. And so on any given day, and my daughter's playing it kind of like the top of, I guess, she's really good, and mm-hmm. she's playing with a pretty elite team.
And she's how old?
Eight. Yeah. So, and they, I mean, she has practiced 3 days a week, and on the weekends, she's got anywhere from 2 to 4 games.
Look, being an 8-year-old playing soccer now, or a 10-year-old playing soccer now, the game has changed. You got professionals that are 16 playing in professional leagues now.
Yeah, and so now it's become one of my favorite pastimes to go and just people watch because you don't ever know what you're going to get. And my wife is, she needs to shut up sometimes. Like she is extremely vocal and
she's a fiery one.
She is.
And sometimes for good reason, but sometimes it's for overboard. And even the coach, and these coaches are really, really strict too. Like they have told, if you're going to be barking on the sidelines, I mean, you're going to leave.
Oh, yeah.
And so
I've seen parents get kicked out of games before. I mean, not just the game, like go sit on the sidelines further away. They're like, get out of the stadium and we're stopping the game.
Right, right. And so like a week ago, this other team, in my wife's opinion, was playing very dirty. Mm-hmm. And the ref wasn't calling it and like anything. And so it started to get, and not just my wife, it started to get very vocal. Even our coach was starting to get vocal with it.
Because your kid could get hurt.
Yeah.
When you get to a point where a child could get injured because you're not calling fouls, then that's, I can understand why a mom, I can understand why Mama Bear would come out.
I mean, you are not supposed to stiff arm in soccer. Am I correct in that? You are
I mean, you could protect yourself with like an elbow and a shoulder.
No, but I'm talking like stiff
arm. Like football stiff arm.
Exactly. Exactly. And so my wife starts screaming, do you know what sport we're playing? Like from the sidelines.
She's yelling at the 8-year-old kid, another 8-year-old kid.
Well, that, but also like, ref, come on. Mm-hmm. Like, do you know what sport we're playing? Are you blind? She's like waving her jacket, like throwing in a flag because. Even though, because like insinuating we're playing football here,
right.
so the ref starts to get irritated and basically comes over to my wife and tells her to leave the
game.
Yes,
oh, you don't even get a warning.
So wait, he throws a red card on her, but he won't throw a card on the pitch.
Well, she was disturbing the game. I mean, and so as she's like packing up her things to leave.
One of the
parents on the other team is like, basically starts mouthing off to her.
Oh, no.
Like saying that they're allowed to stiff arm. And she's like, okay, Mr. Heisman. Like just going off on him. And
she
like,
gave it to everybody.
Oh, yeah. She was mad, man. She was mad. I was like, I'll see you in the car, babe. I was like,
you eight-year-olds.
Eight-year-olds,
absolutely.
The Burt Show.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like, suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. But make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right. Your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
We need to ask a question later. Like, if your spouse gets kicked out of a game, shouldn't you like?
Oh no, you stay. No, that's your kid.
Somebody
out there
has to support the kid.
Yeah, you don't leave. Yeah.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
See you at home.
All right. Eric Menendez's wife says she's disappointed by the Los Angeles District Attorney's decision to resentence him. I was very shocked when I saw this headline because this is good news. Mm-hmm. Like, they've been serving 36 years in prison, Eric and Lyle Menendez, for the murder of their parents. And now that the public's opinion of them has changed with kind of revisiting these the footage of their court case and seeing from like a 2024 lens the abuse that they experienced or that they say that they experienced as kids. A lot of people are very much on the side of get them out of prison. Like if we're going to let someone like Gypsy Rose Blanchard, who also was a part of killing her mom and also experienced abuse, we should have the same kind of empathy for them.
And I think too that what needs to be noted is the 36 years they've spent in prison, they've been exemplary prisoners. And they have actually, I don't recall which one of the brothers, but one of the brothers is actually doing a lot of work to help those that have experienced trauma as children and assault as children and helping them overcome that trauma.
Yeah, I have a very cloudy view on this thing, man, because as soon as you start messing with kids, I can't have an objective opinion about it. Mm. All bets are off to me.
100%. So when I saw this headline, I was kind of like, why is she disappointed about the fact that they're going to consider resentencing them? Basically meaning that because they were under the age of 26, that the time that they've served is over really what they should have gotten for the context of adding the abuse into the case and some of the new evidence that was found, like a letter that Eric wrote to a cousin basically explaining the abuse that was happening. So Tammy Menendez, who is the wife of Eric Menendez, because yes, these men have wives, despite the fact that they're in prison, said that it was an emotional day on Twitter following the district attorney's public speech saying that they're going to reconsider the sentencing. She said, I am grateful to DA Gascon for his courage to seek resentencing for Eric. However, she said that she wishes that he would have been more forceful. She added, I am naturally disappointed he did not go further and act on his own belief that Eric and Lyle have served enough time in prison. So basically, she thinks you've got enough power. You should just let them out because you seem to believe that they should be resentenced. But at the end of the day, like, you can't override whatever court system is happening in LA. Like, you've got to do whatever, like, you got to do things by the book.
I really do think the documentary is worth a watch, not the show Monsters, which is fiction based on a true story, but the actual documentary, because their first trial, which ended in a mistrial, is starkly different from the second trial because all of those abuse allegations were not allowed in the second trial. And when you see like the timeline of stuff, because when the Menendez trial was going on after the first mistrial is when the OJ stuff happened. Mm. And when OJ was found not guilty, the district attorney's office was hell bent on getting a conviction of the Menendez brothers because they didn't want another mark on their record. So when you see all of it play out and you watch how stuff happened, it's like you'll start seeing it in a different light.
For sure. And as I've said before, when you watch it, just be really, really careful. It's stuff we can't talk about on the radio. It's so graphic and so disturbing what the dad did that you can't. It's a game changer opinion wise in a millisecond.
100%.
The Burt Show.
I'm so tickled by our listener, Ashley, here, who's brought in notes to talk on The Burt Show. And none of us have ever done that on the show before.
I did not want to be caught slipping on The Burt Show.
So Ashley is here to find out what she already knows, that there are spirits and ghosts in her home. We do this every single year with Ed and Georgia Paranormal Investigations, where you guys go ahead and you email us about all the weird, creepy, spooky stuff that's going on in your house, and we send Ed over there with all of his electronics, and then you come back and he tells you, yep, you were right. So you live in Marietta, and why don't you give us the origin story of this house and what's been going on and freak us all out.
All right. So I live in Marietta. We have a little house on a little bit of land with a little lake. And back in the day, well, to my knowledge, I'll just start here. To my knowledge, two people have passed away on or near the property. So my house was built in the 80s. And before that, they used to go out there and fish. And, you know, people would swim, kind of like recreational area. And somebody did drown in the lake back in the day, like in the 50s.
Okay.
My house was built in the 80s. There's only one previous owner. It was the couple, just the two of them. And he actually passed away on the property. He unalived himself in the backyard.
Do you know of these stories before you buy the property?
No. Okay. So supposedly, they really only have to tell you if it's inside the house. Because more of like a bio issue.
Huh.
Of like the body being in the house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I didn't know
more
that.
More of a health thing. So Well, that's what my realtor said.
Yeah, okay. I'm a realtor, okay.
Yeah. That sounds like a realtor that's trying to get out of not telling you somebody died on the property.
Right.
You don't got to worry about that, though. It happened in the lake. It's not like any ghosts are going to come from the lake to the house.
Right. So we bought the house in 2020 from the widow, and we didn't know about any of this until about 2 years after the fact, when one of the other people on the lake started telling us all of these things. Mm-hmm.
So it's a little neighborhood gossip going on.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
It feels like a Netflix show playing out. Like you think everything's fine until the neighbors start talking.
Right. Yep. And I'm like, oh, the plot thickens.
Yeah.
But okay. So I'm going to start with like some of the smaller things. And then there was one event where I was like, something really is kind of weird here. So in general, we have just weird things that go on. So I have a doggy doorbell on the back door where our dog goes and just like boops his nose. And that's how... He says he wants to go outside.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome. That's
he's amazing. A smart boy.
That is definitely not a bulldog.
No, he's a pound puppy.
Okay.
He's a German Shepherd Rottweiler mm-hmm. mix.
Love it.
He's a good boy. And so he goes and he'll boop his nose and that's how you know he wants to go outside. Well, every once in a while, the doorbell will just go off, but you have to physically touch it to make it make the ding dong noise. And every once in a while, it would just be like, ding dong,
mm-hmm.
and the dog's sitting right there. So who's doing it?
So the first couple of times that happens, how are you talking yourself out of it being a ghost or a spirit? Are you just like, maybe the wind, something hit?
I was like, well, maybe the mechanism on the doorbell was stuck, and then it just released itself, you know.
Electrical issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just physics.
And then it starts happening over and over and over again. And that's when you're like, wait a minute.
Over and over and over again. And there is an old alarm system that we have and it's not active. And every once in a while, the alarm will just go off and it starts like as in a burglary alarm. So we're just sitting in the house, nothing's going on. And all of a sudden it's like, and you have to go turn it off. But there's nothing going on. And we don't have an active service on the alarm system at all.
Like, so it's not connected?
We have, like, it's electronically connected, mm-hmm. but there's no service. It's not activated.
Okay. Wow.
But again, you could dismiss it as just electrical issue.
Right.
Maybe.
So other little things is, like, when I'm in the laundry room doing laundry, the lights will flicker, but it doesn't do that for my husband. So I always feel like it's like kind of like following me around and there's just like this one shadow in my one guest bedroom where when you're walking by it, like you see like a dark figure mm-hmm. and then you see it, you feel it, you look, but then nothing's there.
I try to explain to people what that feel is. It's like electricity, mm-hmm. right? When somebody is standing behind you, you know it, even if you mm-hmm. don't see them. Was that what you're feeling?
It's more of like a... It feels like just daggers, like they're like looking at you.
Okay.
I don't know. But I do want to say I really never felt unsafe in my home. Like I don't feel like it's out to get me or anything. But there was this one night back in August of this year where it was like one of those nights where you're tossing and you're turning and I'm having nightmares. I can't sleep. And all of a sudden the master bedroom door just kind of like opens up really slowly.
Mm-mm.
No.
Nope.
And I am like a child, so I just put my head under the covers.
You won't see me under here.
You're safe there.
I was like, you ain't gonna get me.
Not today.
Not today.
You'll have to go through this cotton.
I was protected by my blanket. And so I didn't look because I'm a child. And I didn't know at the time my husband was awake too, and he heard it. So he heard it open. And then a few minutes go by and then it closes as if someone was just like coming in, looking and then closing the door.
The door opened and closed on its own.
Mm-hmm. Just really gently, nothing crazy. So we do have a lot of animals, but he looked, none of the animals were present. The AC like wasn't going off. So like, you know, there's no wind, so to speak. And the next morning, he told me that he was at work. A coworker who's never been to our house before asked him randomly, "Is your house haunted?" And he was like, "No, why?" She goes, "I had a dream last night that I was at your house for like a birthday party and something cold grabbed my arm." And he was like, really? That's weird. Because last night we just had all of these things happen. And she goes, well, that's really weird. I don't want to tell you how it ended.
Oh, what? Well, I mean, okay. She said everything by not saying anything, didn't she?
Right.
And she really didn't tell him for a long time. He had to like keep asking her about it.
You can't say that not say.
Right.
I gotta know.
No, it's not going to end up like, and we all had a really good dance.
Right.
Yeah, we all started dancing with each other. It was really, really great.
Right. So it ended with me getting pushed down the stairs.
Oh, God.
Oh,
my. But we don't have stairs, so I was like, that's not real. It's a ranch story house. We don't have stairs. I'm not falling. And I think that was honestly, those are most of
That's plenty.
Yeah, no, you're good.
That'll do.
That's plenty. That is plenty. Mm-hmm. All right, so with all of that, we sent Ed to Marietta to go through your house with all his equipment, check everything out, see if they can find anything. And he did. You're not going to be shocked.
No, but I'm very nervous. Like, my palms are sweating.
Well, you're going to hear the true ghosts and spirits that are in your house, okay?
Well, hopefully they're nice.
I don't think they said anything rude.
Okay, good.
All right, so we will play those for you next on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.